You're listening to the SermonCoach.com podcast with Dr. David Maynes. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. We welcome you back and hope you're going to be very interested by what we talk about today. I'm going to start, David, by saying that you've shared some great stories of creative things that obviously went quite well while you were preaching. I notice you haven't shared any stories where something went terribly wrong. Were there any of those?
I don't like to share those stories. There's not a pastor alive who doesn't have stories of things that went wrong. I probably have more than most because we tried a lot of creative things. I can talk to you about things that surprised me that I had never in my wildest dreams anticipated, okay? We did a series. We actually put it into an adventure, which was 8 Sundays and the 7 weeks in between, or 50 days. And it was a series on the presence of Christ in your workplace. And so in the brainstorming times, I don't know who came up with the idea, but we said it would be really neat because people don't know each other that well in the church if for the first Sunday of that series of Christ in your workplace, everybody came dressed in the way they would dress when they go to work. So if you're a letter carrier, you come with your postman's bag and that. And if you're a nurse, you wear a nurse's uniform and whatever it is. If you wear a tie when you go to work, wear a tie. You know, if you don't wear a tie, don't come to church in a tie if you normally do. So everybody had, if you're a baseball player, you come in a baseball uniform, you know, whatever you do. So what I hadn't anticipated was the church I was a part of at that time was a church of probably about 500 people. And I got to church that morning when the pastor was preaching the series. I wasn't. And right smack in the very front of the big church, it was a big evangelical free church, and white pillars there, right at the very center, that was a huge Budweiser beer truck. And the guy came to work in his Budweiser beer delivery outfit, which was quite surprising. And that truck sat there for the whole of the first service, and when the guy came out, he hopped in the truck and drove it away. But, you know, that kind of put a ripple through the whole congregation that what's-his-name was a beer truck driver, and he came with his beer truck that morning to make it all even more real.
But it was real, wasn't it?
It was real, yeah. I mean, that was a big truck. So Budweiser beer out in front of the church.
All right. That's an experience that you observed. How about when you were pastoring? Have you opened up to us yet about embarrassing moments when you tried something that didn't work?
If you give people long enough time, pretty soon they're going to ask you about the embarrassing moments. Everybody's got those. And one of them that I remember, and it's got a good ending to it, which happened probably about a half a year ago for me. We were meeting in a truck driver's union hall in the heart of Chicago, where all of the expressways meet, Dean. It's called the Circle Exchange. It's right at that interchange, which is the very heart of Chicago, just outside the loop. That's where they built the University of Illinois Chicago's campus, and they called it Circle Campus after, again, the interchange. The bus drivers call it Spaghetti Junction because all these roads all meet at this one place. And that's where we started way back in the 1960s. It was 1967, what we call Circle Church, just a handful of people. It grew very fast, and it was during the years of the hippies and all that. You know, Vietnam War, all of that was going on. And during that time, we had a lot of people coming who were not believers, and a lot of people came not in suits and ties, but they came in, you know, just sandals or shorts, T-shirts, that kind of thing, long hair. And I was happy to have them come. It was hard to build the church on them, but we also had stable people who were coming. We were also across the expressway from the largest medical center in the world, so we had a large number of foreign people who came. I would guess on a given Sunday, probably 10-15% of the people were not Christians. And every time they were hearing things that was brand new to them. It was also the drug culture. And I remember one morning, the choir was just getting ready to sing, and we had the verbal call to worship, and the choir started singing. All of a sudden, somebody started cussing, using the Lord's name in vain, and ranting, and pretty soon this young man, I saw him, and he was obviously on drugs, and he was just cussing and screaming against everything. And then he turned around from the center aisle and walked outside. I knew who he was because I had met him before, and I didn't know what to do. In fact, later some of the people said, we thought it was part of the service because you always plan such unique things. It wasn't a part of the service at all. But I said, you know, that was not anticipated, and I apologize for the words that he used. I called him by name. His name was Ron. I said, he's been coming, and I'm glad to have him here, but I think he's distressed. And I would like for us to bow our heads, and whoever would feel called to the Lord in that quiet to go out and see if you can reach out to Ron, that would be a good thing. And then we'll continue with the service and start over again. So there was that very odd thing, and pretty soon our African-American pastor got up from where he was seated, and he walked out, and everyone noticed, and pretty soon later he came in with that gentleman. It was probably 20, 25 minutes later, and they went up to the balcony and sat there. And the fellow was quiet for the rest of the service. But it was just an amazing thing that you're starting this. I've never heard just profanity and ranting and raving and someone yelling at the top of his lungs coming up and down the aisle. So that was an embarrassing time for me. And it was quite interesting to me how later most of the people didn't. I was looking, and I could see them come in and go up to the balcony. Most people didn't know. Mm-hmm. But it was just, you know, the congregation accepted it. They were choir, and pretty soon we started with the call to worship again in the choir, and it just, that was the world we were in. We were in downtown Chicago. The end of that story, which is interesting, you asked me about, I was embarrassed. I was embarrassed because I didn't, you know, I was embarrassed for the Lord as much as anything, and I was embarrassed for myself. This was our church. I was the pastor. I was adequate, and I wasn't adequate. But I preached in the city of Chicago at a church called LaSalle Street Church, which is on the near north side. It's probably about, I'm guessing, 1200 north on LaSalle Street. And I had preached several services, and at the end of the one service, a young man came up to me, and he said, "Do you recognize me?" And I said, "You know, I travel a lot, and I'm sorry, you look familiar, but help me." And he said, I'm Ron, and he told me his last name, and it was that same young fellow. And he's been in church all these years, and he's walked with the Lord, and he was one of the elders in that church.
Wow.
Which is a really, really neat thing. Isn't that a wonderful story?
That's a wonderful story.
Yeah. So, and he talked to me several times, you know, that morning, and just said what it meant to him in those years, and he was sorry for them, but the Lord had done a great thing in his life, and so on. So you never know. It's just interesting. But it was embarrassing at the time anyway.
Embarrassing, but what a wonderful story of God's grace.
If you don't mind, I got another story, which is really interesting, because those were totally different days. I mean, those were demonstrations, and the whole country was, you know, there were riots. I was in downtown Chicago when the Democratic Convention was there, and Hubert Humphrey was nominated, and the police chased the hippies out of Lincoln Park. I lived right across from Lincoln Park. So all that stuff was going. I remember driving to church when people were shooting from the overpasses and all that, you know. So you have to put that context as to what was happening so that you don't think, well, this is a normal, peaceful suburban setting. Yeah. We were meeting in a union hall. It was a very beautiful building, which was the old Plasterers Union. So it was basically a huge dance floor. And then the side room, which was the bar on Saturday nights for the Teamsters, that became our Sunday school facility. So here is the setting you have to imagine. And the different people came in. As a free church, there weren't many free churches in the city, and none right downtown where we were. We were right at the center of the city. And our district superintendent, his name was Dean Smith. He was a really good man, a tall man, a gracious man. He was very helpful to me. He prayed for me. I have nothing but very warm memories. But he was always busy visiting churches, and he was never able to come to our church. And then one Sunday morning, he came and totally surprised me. I was thrilled that he was there. Well, it was also at the time in our church when we were having a discussion as a board as to what we would do regarding a problem, because we had all these outsiders coming in, and during the morning service, some of them were smoking. Well, it's hard to imagine in a church on Sunday morning somebody lights up and is smoking, and in that, it was a very, they were very well lighted, and I mean, very high ceilings, and when someone smoked, it'd take a long time for that smoke to go way up to the ceiling. It was incredibly distracting. So the board had met. We were a young group of people, and we knew the answers to everything, and we never thought about what if somebody starts smoking in the morning service. And there would be two or three who would, which was totally natural of them. It wasn't a church building. It was a union hall, so they were smoking. And so we met, and we decided this is not a good thing, and so we will institute a policy starting next month where if you're going to smoke, it's all right. We're happy to have you come, but you need to smoke in the balcony. because then you won't distract anybody. You can still smoke. You can hear up there. There's no problem. But that will be the smoking area. Section. Well, we had decided that was the thing, but it wasn't to be implemented until the start of next month. And by golly, the district superintendent came before the thing was instituted. So I was so glad to see Dean Smith come, and he was a gracious, wonderful man. And he came down, he sat right in the center aisle on the end, and probably about five rows back, and he was smiling, and right behind him was a hippie who came. And wouldn't you know, right in the middle of my sermon, he lit up his cigarette, and it wasn't a normal cigarette, and he blew this puff of smoke, and it landed just like a globe right on top of the district superintendent's head, just like a fishbowl had been put on his head, and he was smoking what wasn't a normal cigarette. It had a very sweet smell. And I could, while I was preaching, I don't know what I was preaching that morning, but I saw the district use his hand and try to get that smoke away. And it would go kind of sideways and then go up, and then poof, another puff would come, land right on his head. I mean, it was that kid behind him was just an absolute deadeye. He couldn't have shot with a better aim than what he had. And it was very fascinating to me, because Dean Smith came up to me afterward. He said, "I've always wanted to be here. And I heard that it was very different. But you know what, David? I never dreamed it was as different as it really, really is." So those were interesting stories. And sometimes if I say odd things, you have to understand the context out of which I am speaking. You know, I've had a very unusual background. And those people, when they came in, some of them came to know the Lord. That was wonderful. And some of them didn't. But they were exposed to the gospel in an area where there had never been a church down there before. So it was an interesting time, okay?
Obviously pioneering a new church in an urban setting, downtown setting, and all of that offers a lot of challenges. And the truth is, pioneering a church in the suburbs, pioneering a church in the country, they each have their own set of circumstances,
yeah,
don't they?
Yeah, they do.
Were there times when you had an inkling that something wasn't going to work, so you canceled what was planned?
There are times when I had an inkling and I wish I had canceled.
Okay. Are you willing to tell us about those?
I can say there were times when I didn't think this would work. One of them, there's a passage. Let me see if I can get the passage just a second. This is 2 Corinthians and it's chapter 2. People will recognize this. For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one we are the smell of death, to the other the fragrance of life. Okay, that you recognize the passage, mm-hmm. That's 2 yes. Corinthians chapter 2. I was going to use that for the benediction because of what I have been speaking about our influence as salt and light in the world. And you know, we planned every part. I said, I really like that because I wanted people to understand the beauty of this and with this sweet aroma of Christ to the world. And one of the persons said, you know what, we should probably work on that and use smell in the service. And I know that you can go and get these little perfume packs that are samples. Mm-hmm. And we had somebody who worked at, I think it was Carson's downtown Chicago, and I'd like to see if I could ask that person, will you get these? Well, we had about 500 people in church, so we would need a lot of those. So you're talking probably 350, 400 packets of those. And I said, I don't know if that's a good idea. Well, they said, you know, when you give the benediction, you ought to say, before I give the benediction, I want all of you to take out the perfume pack and open it. And it will illustrate what I'm trying to say as to who you are and where we go into the world. So I didn't know. But anyway, every time someone came in, they got a perfume pack and they got a bulletin. And they were told, you know, in the bulletin, don't open the perfume pack until you are told. So anyway, we came to the end, and I said, before I read the benediction for you, which relates to what the theme of the morning has been, I would like for all of you to take out your perfume pack, and I'd just like for you to open it and let that smell rise through the congregation. And then when it started, I read, for we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one we are the smell of death, to the other the fragrance of life. And who is equal to such a task? And Dean, it was the most beautiful smell. I mean, that was a huge auditorium. And yet there were enough of those packets that smell was there, and it was incredible. So those people went out, they knew they were the aroma of Christ to the world that was waiting. I thought it was kind of a dumb idea when I heard it. But when we actually did it, because I don't think smell that much. And it came up from a woman. She thought we'd use this. And when we did it, it was beautiful beyond words. There was this wonderful smell of the Lord. And I mean, it lingered. It lingered in that auditorium for so long. And I'll never forget the time. You know, not something I saw, not something I heard, something I smelled that was wonderful.
Yeah. Wow. That's an amazing story. Well, it's obvious that you've illustrated the point that instead of being afraid of what others might think, what could go wrong, don't let that inhibit your creativity. Let the creativity be guided by the Holy Spirit and reasonable thinking to some degree, but also at the same time, be prepared to handle what might happen in a way that I think of the case with the gentleman you described, Ron. The Lord led you to handle that in the proper way. And so even though it might be embarrassing to some, or even the pot-smoking hippie sitting behind R. Dean Smith in the service there, I'm tempted to want to tell you that you know that all over the country that an R. Dean Smith traveled on behalf of the Evangelical Free Church all over the country. Mm-hmm. He told the story about the time he was in the church service where somebody lit up a marijuana cigarette behind him.
Is that right? He was such a good man.
He was such a good man. Indeed, he was.
He could have made that really uncomfortable and just graciously accepted it.
Bless him. Great servant of Christ.
Yeah.
What are we going to talk about next time?
Okay, getting ahead on schedule. That's a huge thing. How to plan ahead and set the direction of where you want to go. Kind of the church calendar, that kind of a thing.
Very good. We invite you to join us again for the SermonCoach.com podcast, where we're talking with Dr. David Maines, the director of SermonCoach.com. We'd like to invite you to stop by our website, sermon-coach.com, and we'll see you back here when next we meet.